The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing our show. Ray does a great job for us here on the Buckmaster Show, and together we welcome you to the program. Thursday the 25th of January already, a week from today, we'll break into a new month. We're coming to you from Tucson's Voice AM 1030 KVOI, have our worldwide live listening, making it very easy for you to hear the program at buckmastershow.com, and KVOI, the fine station website, have our worldwide live listening. And of course, we've got all of our podcasts, the archive going back to our first week of shows back in January 2011. Got them pretty much all there, becoming of historical reference when you get back that far to 2011. 790-2040 is our live line. We welcome your calls. If there's anything you would like to bring up with Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie, Republican District Number 4, excuse me, Steve. sometimes I get a little mixed up. Call us now and Supervisor Christie, be happy to take your call. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm like 99% of the rest of the Pima County community. I'm recovering along with my wife from this flu that's going along. Mm-hmm. I'm out the other side. But other than that, I haven't been on your show in a while. It's great to be back.
Thank you very much. We did a whole half hour on the flu yesterday. And yes, it's like everyone I know either is recovering from it or currently has it.
That's some nasty stuff.
Yours truly included, but I am, like you, got over it, hopefully over it. But have you noticed that even though you get over the 90% of it, you're still tired?
Yeah, I don't seem to be getting enough sleep.
Me
and
too.
And there's always a feeling that something's still hanging on.
Exactly.
And won't let go. So I'm just hoping that I can get to the other side real quick.
Murphy Woodhouse did a nice piece in the Star about the two sales tax plans for the Pima County road repairs. You put forth your plan last October about a roads plan that featured a half-cent sales tax as well as management of that effort through the Regional Transportation Authority. Now we have Supervisor Valadez with his own plan. This gets a little confusing, I think, for folks. Can you kind of, maybe we can spend a little time digging into this?
Well, there are some elements that do require kind of getting down into the weeds with Supervisor Valadez's proposal. There are many issues between his proposal and mine that are quite compatible. First of all, it was enacting a half-cent sales tax. Second of all, with mine, it would be repealing the current property tax for road repair that was enacted last spring. Where I really kind of dig my heels in and draw a line in the sand is regarding the administration of a road repair plan, and that would have to be, with my plan, through the Regional Transportation Authority or Pima Association of Governments. And then I certainly would insist that monies derived from the sales tax go directly towards the roads. We're talking numbers somewhere between $800 and $900 million just to get us back up to roughly a fair rating for our roads. Supervisor Valadez's plan, if I'm reading it correctly, goes on beyond that. He kind of covers everything except, as I point out in the article, that he does not mention administration by the Regional Transportation Authority. He seems to be rather agnostic on that, which I think is a step in the right direction, but I'd like to see a little more commitment to that policy of the RTA handling it from him. But then beyond the sales tax and the road tax and the money for the roads, he calls for spending sales tax revenue on reducing property taxes. And that's where it gets kind of tricky trying to figure it out. And I'll be quite honest with you, my eyes kind of glaze over a little bit when it comes to that.
You and a lot of other people.
Yeah, but there is something to do with the 1% cap on assessed values, that if it goes beyond that, the state has to pay the difference. And if we provide a mechanism to reduce that 1% triggering, it will free up money allegedly in Phoenix that will allow us to have more flexibility. And I'm not doing a very good job of describing it. And I do point out in that article that I think it kind of muddies the waters, and it takes away from the focus that I have insisted upon, and that is that 100% of the revenues generated from the sales tax goes to fixing the roads.
Well, he is going to be our guest. I was just checking the schedule. I know it's next week. Yeah, we've got Supervisor Valdez with us next Wednesday, and maybe he can explain
this property tax
component of it. But it gets confusing. I think the bottom line is, if the board really wants to do something about the roads, the board should be able to get together and everybody get on the same page and get this done.
Ideally and idealistically, that would be the case. There are some rather passionate feelings about road repair and taxes and things of that nature that run quite deep through the members of the board. And I think as long as we keep the subject matter of fixing our roads in the forefront on the board, and I'm going to insist again that my fellow board members either involve themselves in the discussion, or even better, come up with their own road plan that actually shows where money can be derived and dedicated to fixing our roads, that I think will be the biggest step in trying to get some kind of a collaboration between the five of us to fix our roads.
You know, I tend to agree with you. If each of the district supervisors were to put on the table their plan, okay, we're going to have five plans, then everybody get together, kind of a conference committee, and hammer out a plan and then move forward.
A study session would be just terrific in this. And of course, going back to my days of the Citizens Advisory Committee for the original Regional Transportation Authority plan, that was the success of it. It was that it was community-wide, county-wide, regional-wide, and that everybody got a big piece, a big chunk of the plan. And it happened because everybody was at the table contributing ideas and thoughts about what we needed to do to enhance our capacity and ease traffic congestion in Pima County. So everybody was at the table, everybody contributed it, and everybody got a piece. And I think the same replication of a methodology could be done at the board level. And I would just encourage folks who really are fed up with our road situation to contact their supervisors and say, look, do something. It may not be the right thing, it may not be the best thing, but do something so we can all discuss it and all make some recommendations to really finally fix our roads.
It's called collaboration.
Well,
and yeah,
that's very true. And I got to tell you really quick, okay. I don't know if I told you this before, Bill, but after I became supervisor, I came home one day after a tough day of supervisoring, and I said to my wife, wow, honey, that was a busy day. And she goes, well, what all did you do? And I said, well, I had to be on the Bill Buckmaster show,
right,
or I had to
right.
go to this meeting or a planning and zoning thing and talk to these folks. And she said, honey, none of that matters. None of that matters. Just fix the roads.
You know, that's
and
true.
She's absolutely
it's
right.
Wise advice
and
from your
everybody. Everybody says, listen to your wife.
And that's the way the public views it, too. You know,
exactly.
Just get this job done. And
fix
it does take all five of you to get this sales tax. It has to be unanimous, right?
It does.
And that's the big
hurdle
that has to be overcome if this is going to be. Otherwise, it's just going to be all talk.
Correct.
Yeah. And the amount of money, well, let me ask you about the RTA managing your plan. Would they be on board with that?
Oh, absolutely. Matter of fact, talking to the RTA folks are the ones that gave me the idea behind my Just Fix the Roads plan. They said, we can do it. There are mechanisms in place or that could be put in place that could adequately meet a road repair, maintenance, repair plan. And of course, they've got an 11-year track record of terrific projects of enhancing and easing congestion throughout our county. I came down a couple of them today.
Which ones?
And we have of course the overpasses here, mm-hmm. and the widening of roads and intersections and various major arterials. Then you have the Kolb extension over the Pantano and the Houghton Road corridor and the Twin Peaks interchange, and it goes on and on and on. Some, I don't know, 800-900 projects of success, all on time and under budget. And certainly if they can go through those very finite and focused plans of overpasses and traffic interchanges and EISs and everything else that goes into the major projects that they've completed, they certainly can pave our roads.
Indeed. Steve Christie will stick around for another segment, 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation. We'll take our first break here on our Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. The mayor will be with us tomorrow on our Friday Focus interview. Be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, the Friday Focus interview with Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild. The Friday Roundtable features Jim Ninsel, editor of the Tucson Weekly, and Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial page editor for the Arizona Daily Star. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. To the Buckmaster Show Thursday edition. Steve Christie is with us, District 4, Pima County Supervisor, Republican. This portion of the program presented by our friends over in Silver City, and they do such a great job over there with their tourism. Actually, New Mexico spends a lot of money on tourism, and it really shows, and we're delighted to have Silver City with us. It's only a three-hour drive east of Tucson, and so many recreation opportunities over there. A great starting place is their website, southwestnewmexico.org, for the complete list of places to stay and visit in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Steve Christie with us. And Steve, that might be a good road trip for you sometime. It's a three-hour drive, and I know you love the automobiles like I do. And 3 hours of nothing.
Nothing.
Hit the road trip. That's road right. trip, baby. Let's talk a little bit about the last time you were on the program. Dan Scheer was here from the Green Valley News, and we were talking about this golf course deal. It's the defunct Canoa Hills golf course that could be on its way to becoming a park-like passive recreational site. How is that coming along?
It's taken a new direction, which I think is a very positive one. Of course, the misconception is that there's two misconceptions. One, that it's going to be reconverted back into an actual working golf course, which it is not. And the second thing is that it's going to be converted into a new iteration of the what we would consider the stereotypical park with, you know, benches and ball fields and things. That's not going to happen either. What it's going to happen is it will revert back to its natural flora of the high Sonoran Desert and the plants and the trails and that kind of environment.
Open space,
but also if you go around the bike loop and you look at those kinds of environments, it's designed for completely to have as little maintenance, if any, as possible, yet allowing the populace to take part in it in either biking or hiking or recreation of that sort. And it's 130 acres in the heart of Green Valley. And it runs through, I'm not sure the exact number, but probably a couple of dozen HOAs that would have access to them, as well as the entire Green Valley community. And initially, Green Valley Recreation kind of stepped up as to be a kind of a mentor relationship or a sponsorship relationship with the county. And Green Valley Recreation, I think, has some internal issues that it got kind of controversial. So the Green Valley Council, which represents roughly 80% of the HOAs in Green Valley, they took over that whole process of working with the county to develop a plan to include the entire Green Valley community to have access to this park. They've got a terrific working committee of about 7 or 8 really dedicated and passionate people that want this park. And Green Valley, based on numbers that they kind of use as a rule of the thumb, coast to coast, nationwide, about population versus parks, how many per person needed to have a park environment. And it's proven Green Valley is grossly underserved as far as parks and recreation. And here's a developer who sees the writing on the wall as far as this particular golf course. It just is not something sustainable for him in a business sense. And he could walk away from it, but he's not going to do that. He's going to make plans to donate it to the county. Mm-hmm. And the Green Valley Council is going to form a direction about how to best utilize the property to benefit the entire community. And it's 130 acres virtually for free, other than the $10 transfer a property amount that you pay at the assessor and all that. So
what are you waiting for? When's the vote?
Well, I'm thinking soon? The vote will be coming up sometime in the spring, but it's going to come after Green Valley Council gives a recommendation about its best and highest use, and it's a exciting thing down in Green Valley. All the folks down there are really behind it and excited, and this is one of the first opportunities that they've really had a new park system available to them, and it's free of charge, and the county's going to maintain it, but there's going to be partnerships with it. Could be, you know, Freeport MacMoran or HUD Bay or some of the big corporations there that'll step up and really make it a nice quality of life enhancement for the folks of Green Valley who have really not had that ability before.
Well, it certainly sounds like a win-win for everybody. Let's go to the live line, 790-2040. Dave would like to speak with Supervisor Christie. Hey, Dave.
I believe that if they cancel the plans for the velodrome and the soccer stadium and some of the other things, you'd have the money for the roads and have the money to resume the STEP program for the sheriff's officers. If they keep spending money on other things like that, you know, then it won't get reelected. People replace them will be endorsed by SAVA. We got a pro-development majority on the board. They'll start rezoning all of the places like Marana.
So you're saying spend more money on roads rather than soccer fields?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear what Supervisor Christie has to say about that.
I agree with you there. We have to set our priorities, and there was a plan to enhance the Keno Sports Complex recently, and I voted against that because I did not feel it was a priority situation. And I've always said, and I continue to say, that the number one issue that we have facing in Pima County is the fact that we need to address and fix our roads. And that comes first, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and then that goes along with the economic development, doesn't it?
Well, everything else, economic development.
If you're an economic developer and you fly into Tucson, we've got a beautiful airport. There's no problem there. But then they come into town.
And the horror stories I've heard from developers and real estate folks who've flown in, folks coming in to look at property, and they have to take a circuitous route so they avoid the bad potholes and come in at night so you don't see it. And it's laughable, but at the same time, it's very sad. And it's indicative of the way our roads have deteriorated to the point where it just is such an eyesore and an expense to people to maintain their vehicles. And how can you be, you know, in the car business, we always said, it's all in the presentation.
Yeah.
Well, we're not presenting ourselves very well in Pima County with our roads. And if we're going to attract new businesses and tourism and economic development of any kind, the first thing you have to have is a clean, updated, modern, repaired, streamlined infrastructure system with good, solid, fixed roads that are paved and are free of potholes. And we don't have that. And until we get that, all of our efforts for all these other areas are going to fall far short because people will just turn around and walk away. And I've heard those stories too.
I use the analogy with your business, the former business, and you want something showroom clean.
Exactly.
How big a deal was it to keep the showroom looking really good?
Oh, you had to do that every day, all day. Between the floor traffic of the customers and the cars coming in and out, you bet. And that was the key. That's where your best side needs to be shown, and you can transfer that same effort in a car dealership showroom to the entire community in our valley. That we need to have, as you point out, that's a great analogy. We need to have our streets and roads and arterial conveyances showroom ready for people to come in here and say, "Wow, this place really cares about itself. It looks great. I'm going to move here and stay here."
You might want to use that at the next board meeting. Yeah, let's make Tucson showroom ready.
That's a great way to do it. We'll put that into there with Just Fix the Roads.
There you go. In the remaining minute or so, this the state budget, is that going to impact Pima County?
I'm sure it will in some areas. I don't know specifically at this particular point how that's going to all pan out. Quite honestly, I've been focusing on just fixing the roads that I really haven't had a chance to look at that because we need to chart our own destiny in fixing our roads in Pima County. You've heard about the gas tax. You've heard about a number of different ways to have a dedicated revenue sources. Well, all of those are going to be required to either have state legislature approval or approval from Washington, D.C., and in both those jurisdictions, that ain't going to happen. So Pima County needs to take charge and find its own dedicated road revenue source for repair and stand on our own 2 feet and not be beholden to anybody in Phoenix or Washington, D.C.
All right, Supervisor Steve Christie, the new year is off to a good start for you, other than trying to recover like myself and a lot of other people from a bout with the flu.
Well, I'm feeling better just talking to you.
Thank you very much. We're coming up on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. We'll take our break right here and we'll hear from the people. These are great people who make this program possible every day. We'll be right back. An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI with our worldwide live listening at KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. It's time for our CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Program, presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated, a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. The CEO-driven regional alliance has helped to drive significant business investment into Tucson and Southern Arizona through primary job creation, resulting in 144 company relocations and expansions and an economic impact of just over $22 billion. For more information about Southern Arizona's economic engine, go to suncorridorinc.com. Joining us now on the live line is Jim Tress. Mr. Tress is one of the founding principals of Westland Resources Company, and he's been working in the environmental field for more than 45 years. Westland has grown from a single office here in Tucson to a company of over 120 employees, with additional offices in Phoenix, Flagstaff, and up in Globe. Let's welcome now Mr. Tress. How are you, Jim?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me, Bill.
Tell me a little bit about Westland, Westland Resources. What is your mission?
Well, Westland, we're a locally grown engineering and environmental consulting firm, and we've been in the city and been in existence since 1997. And we provide civil engineering and environmental permitting support to a broad range of clients to help them achieve their project goals.
And who would some of your typical clients be, Jim?
Well, you know, one of the things that really keeps me going at Westland and really engages me every day, and I think all of our staff, is the diversity of our clients. We do work with the mining sector, Freeport, ASARCO, Arizona Mining, Rosemont Resolution, BHP. We have a lot of clients in the public sector, Pima County, the City of Tucson, Bureau of Land Management, National Park Service, and we've worked for many of the larger land development interests throughout Southern Arizona and Phoenix.
Explain to our listeners why folks, these businesses would call upon you. What expertise, Jim Tress, do you bring to the table?
One of the unique aspects of our firm is the diversity of the professionals that work here. We have civil engineers, biologists, environmental planners, geographic information system specialists, surveyors, historians, archaeologists, and we help people solve problems that allow them to develop their project. The society's established, and I think reasonably so, criteria that help people grow and develop projects and grow their communities while respecting the environment. And we have a team of people that understand those requirements and are expert in their fields and can help people move through those processes.
Well, you certainly work, as you say, with a very diverse group of businesses. So perhaps you could share with our listeners kind of your feel for the economic climate right now, Jim Tress, in this community. How do you see the picture right now?
We are very optimistic about the economy in Southern Arizona and Arizona in general and in the West. We're seeing activity increasing in all sectors of our market, and you can see the optimism in our clients as well. It's a big change from 10 years ago.
How did you get into this business?
You know, that's a great question. I've always been interested in natural resources, and got a degree in biology and started to think about what I could do with it. And right about that time, environmental regulation and consideration of those kinds of values was becoming a more important part of project planning. And I was able to get hired by an Arizona consulting firm, and I got great experience there.
So environmental regulation, I'm sure there's a lot of red tape with projects involved, and that's kind of, is that kind of where your company comes in? Because this is what you do, you know about all the regulations, and on. Am I correct there?
Absolutely, but that's only part of what we do. We have a strong civil engineering and landscape architecture group as well. But from an environmental perspective, understanding the process, understanding what's necessary to be done and how best to comply with those requirements is certainly one of our strengths.
What about your, you said the architectural component when it comes to architectural landscaping, are you trying to utilize what they call, I guess it's called xeriscape, trying to utilize less water with your projects?
That's absolutely an important component of any landscape design anymore that goes forward, and that's part of what that group does. But they also, you know, help us with compliance programs, help us create visual simulations to give people an idea of what a project might look like in the future if it's permitted as required. They also do park planning and roadway landscapes, et cetera. And certainly in southern Arizona, xeriscape is an important part of that.
How about your relationship with Sun Corridor? You are, your organization, Westland, is one of the investors in Sun Corridor. Why did you decide to join up?
Well, you know, Tucson's our hometown. We our careers developed here. We established our company here. And frankly, Sun Corridor's mission makes Tucson a better place. The work they do in bringing in a new, high-quality employers, it raises the standard of living for the whole community. It also brings in fresh ideas and new expectations, and that just makes us a more vibrant community in my mind.
Has your company been hiring? Have you been growing?
You know, one of the key issues that I think we face, and I think a lot of companies face, is finding the experienced and quality people that we need to grow. And we have been hiring. We plan to hire anywhere from 8 to 15 positions in the coming year. And we find it difficult to find those experienced people. And we're focusing more and more of our time on internal training. Bigger and bigger portions of our budgets are going to internal training programs. There's a lot of really talented young people that just don't have the experience out there. And we're starting to really invest in those folks to grow our talent internally.
How does your future look at Westland? Pretty good?
It does. We're excited about the future. You know, we got through the first 21 years. We're almost an adult now, I guess, and starting to ask ourselves that question. What do we want to be when we grow up? And we've developed a strategic plan, and we do see ourselves growing, not for growth's sake, but because growth creates opportunity. It creates opportunity for the individuals that make up a company, allows them to grow in their careers. And we see that as an important part of the total matrix of trying to attract and retain the best.
Jim, thank you very much. Jim Trass of Westland Resources. Where can people find out more about Westland in case maybe you've got some people out there listening who might want to go to work for you? So what do they do?
We have a website. They can contact us through that website. We have the open positions are posted there, and they can contact us. It's westlandresources.com.
Jim Trass, thank you very much. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Bill.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Sun Corridor, Inc. You can find out more about the area's economic engine by going to suncorridorinc.com. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Bon Voyage Travel's 2018 Travel Showcase is back. With over 30 travel companies to share their knowledge and a room full of travel professionals, you can't go wrong. Planning the perfect vacation takes time and involves quite a bit of research. Bon Voyage Travel is here to simplify the process and ensure you always receive the best value. Join us February 3rd at La Paloma from noon to 4 p.m. There'll be presentations, exclusive offers, prizes, and a show floor giving you the opportunity to have a one-on-one consultation with us. Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I've had several people say, Bill, what was this you were telling me about Green Things and the rose pruning demo? It's this Sunday at Green Things from 10 a.m. To probably about 11 or 12. And then there's an afternoon session at 2 Lots of people, including myself, are interested in the rose pruning because it is that time of year. Green Things is located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. And they also have a Saturday morning workshop, yoga, and mini meditation gardens. That sounds interesting. That's going to be this Saturday. Let's go now to the state capitol. State Representative Kirsten Engel of Tucson. Representative Engel, along with her colleague, Representative David Stringer, a Republican of Prescott. So we have the Democrat, Ms. Engel, and Mr. Stringer joining forces, heading up a group looking at why Arizona locks up a higher proportion of people than all but four other states. Representative Engel, how are you?
I'm fine, Bill. Thanks for having me.
So how are these criminal justice reform sessions going? I know you're meeting at least once a week.
That's right. That's right. Well, really excellently. I think, you know, this when people hear that we are the fourth highest state in terms of our incarceration rate and that 50% of the people who have been in prison return to prison.
Really?
And that we're spending a tenth of our budget right now on incarceration. I think people are just pretty much floored by those statistics. They realize there is something wrong. You know, people in Arizona are just not worse than people in other states, and yet we are, you know, at the very top of the charts in incarceration. So what we're finding is actually a real bipartisan interest in trying to do something about this.
So it's really a fundamental question whether having more than 42,000 people in state prisons is justified.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, what we're finding is, you know, a lot of the problem is that, you know, we have an outdated, drug code in our state law. We haven't really updated these things except in a kind of haphazard fashion for 25 years. And the world has changed. So from the early 90s, there's a real get tough on crime time. And we found that, you know, some of these policies, they just aren't working. They're catching kind of low-level offenders, a lot of addicts. And through various means, they're kind of entrapping them into our prisons. And we need to deal with these people. We need to get them help. And certainly if they're dealing in drugs, we need to deal with them as drug dealers. But what we don't want to do is really catch sort of low-level possessors of drugs in long prison sentences.
One of our callers just gave us a ring and didn't want to go on the air, but wanted me to ask you if you had any idea how many prisoners are in the country illegally. Do you have any handle on that?
You know, unfortunately, I do not.
Okay.
For the most part, they're not in our prisons. I think those folks are in our detention centers.
Uh-huh.
Awaiting some kind of process. So I don't think that that's a part of the prison population.
The prison population is a huge moneymaker for Arizona, isn't it?
Well, we do have these contracts with private prisons, and that's been a focus. That is not so much the focus of what we're looking at right now, but certainly there have been fairly lucrative contracts, I think, for the private prison companies, where they're guaranteed a certain number of beds. And I think that's a problem. It's a problem to make a profit off of prisoners, I think, and off of the state. And it's a problem to delegate that to a for-profit company.
More than 10% of the total spending in Arizona, though, does go to prisons. I think it's like the Department of Corrections alone tops their budget, $1 billion, that's with a B. That's a lot of money.
That really is a lot of money. And I think that, you know, that's bringing folks that are really seeing how we want to be spending our money on other priorities. You know, that we continue to have an education funding crisis in our state. We are still funding our schools almost $1 billion less than in 2008. So there's a lot that we could be doing with that money. And, you know, for some of these things, if people are locked up really because of drug addiction, you know, there are cheaper ways of dealing with that problem. You know, treatment costs just, you know, something like, you know, 20% of the cost of incarcerating a prisoner for 1 year. So those are the solutions we should be looking at. I mean, it's not going to fix everything for sure, but it's a first step we can make and putting a dent in this incarceration rate.
Are you crafting some kind of a bipartisan legislation that will be presented to your colleagues?
Yes, we are. There's actually been a bill that has already been introduced by my Republican colleague in this effort, Representative David Stringer from Prescott, that he has gotten other Republicans as well as Democrats to sign on to, and it is basically a full-scale drug modernization bill that looks at, you know, the minimum quantities in law for what is considered to be drug dealing. And sometimes it's a very small amount. It's just assumed that you're a drug dealer, when it could be that is an amount that is for somebody's personal use. That person might have a drug addiction problem, but that doesn't make them a drug dealer. And there's much different penalties for somebody who's considered to possess for sale as opposed to possession for themselves. So those are kind of some of the things that we're looking at. There's also consideration of giving judges back some discretion that they had many years ago to craft a sentence, taking into account factors about the defendant's situation. And we've really taken that discretion away from judges. There's a movement to looking to give it back.
What other issues beside, I know you're very close to this, you mentioned education. Is education developing now as going to be the kind of marquee issue out of this session, Representative Engel?
Well, I think so, but I did want to tell your listeners that, you know, today we are debating and will likely pass a bipartisan opioid legislation.
Okay.
And this is a big deal. We've had really just, you know, something like last year, over 800 deaths from overdoses on opioids. And the two parties have really come together on a bill that we will be debating in just a few minutes. And it puts limits on initial prescriptions for opioids by doctors. Sometimes somebody can get addicted after getting, you know, a prescription for like 30 days when the experts are telling us for a lot of things, maybe just a 5-day prescription is what they should be getting. It does have an exception called a Good Samaritan exception. This is something 40 other states have, that if somebody calls 911 and says, you know, I'm here with a friend, my friend is overdosing, that person, any evidence that is collected when the police arrive will not be charged against them, will not be used against them. And that's to encourage people to reach out for medical assistance. They can be charged for other crimes that they might be responsible for, but not for something related to the drugs that might be part of an overdose. And something the Democrats really like is there's $10 million of treatment money in this bill.
How's that bill? So, do you think that bill is going to pass?
I do think it's going to pass. There's still a few things to be worked out. It might be a pretty long night, but from everything we've heard, the parties are on leadership is on board with each other. There was actually a joint press conference with the governor on launching the special session that we're in right now on Tuesday, and that was achieved only after they decided, you know, they came to agreement on the main factors of that bill. But you're right, education is, you know, it's a problem that we still haven't fixed. And I think as soon as as soon as we get through this opioid legislation, what we very much need, we're going to turn back to education.
All right. Representative Kirsten Engel of Tucson, thank you very much, Representative, for the update, especially the timely information about the opioid legislation. We certainly have that crisis here in Arizona and really the United States. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Kirsten Engel, Representative Democrat from Tucson, with the update from the state capitol. Coming up this afternoon, it's Mike Check. Mike Shaw is the host of the program. He's ably assisted by Mr. Ray Allen. Together, they put together a great hour, soon to be a couple of hours, I hope. That would be the goal that we'll be looking for in the future. Coming up tomorrow morning, we have the 3 hours of Wake Up Tucson, and then it's the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview. Mayor Rothschild will be with us tomorrow, and our reporters, Jim Nintzel of The Weekly and Sarah Garrett-Gasson of The Star. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon and evening.